Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, to be able to come to a place to lift up and glorify the name of our Savior. We're thankful for that night, Lord, that the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field, and that the angel appeared to Joseph and let them know that this child that Mary was going to have was going to be born of the Holy Ghost of God. He would be a Savior, pure blood, undefiled, holy, the holy child. And because of his holy life, we now have hope in this life. You tell us that your goodwill was toward us. It was in our direction, Lord. Peace on earth and goodwill toward us. It's available to us, Lord. And we pray that any man, woman, or child in hearing of this message of peace and goodwill toward men would respond, Lord, and appropriate that free gift of salvation. Receive it. Take it into their hearts and believe it and trust in it. And all this we ask in Jesus' name, pray you'd hold me up this morning and help me and give me strength and unction to preach and fill me with the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now much of the very character of God himself is found in these passages. Kind of, if you look at it closely, it runs contrary or contradictory to the way much of the world views religion. We become a world of religious worship and become less and less a world of biblical Christianity. So here we have the story of the birth of our Savior. And, you know, the religious leadership in the world wants the folks to think that it's about them and that high sophisticated crowd, we used to call it when I was a policeman in Miami, Florida. There was a crowd over there where nothing but rich folks lived. In Coconut Grove, you had the Dial family people. You'd get alarm calls at those big fancy mansions, rooms, a normal room about the size of this church you'd walk into, and statues and all kinds of architecture and paintings, $100,000 painting on the wall. That isn't the crowd that the Lord appeared to. The religious leaders were bypassed in this story of the virgin birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And you have to wonder, why in the world would the God of glory send the angel of the Lord to appear unto a carpenter? I mean, most of you know Sam Girard, Dennis Watson. I mean, they're carpenters. Why would God? Duh. I'm messing with you now, guys. Don't get mad at me here. But Joseph was just a common working man. Joseph, it don't appear like he was wealthy. He wasn't wealthy. Apparently wasn't well known. Didn't appear to be. Nothing says he was highly educated. He wasn't one of the religious leaders. Just a simple working man. A carpenter. Probably wasn't even in the union. Some of you don't get all right. And look at Mary. Look at Mary. She wasn't part of the Hollywood crowd. She wasn't some debutante, a prom queen. She was just a country girl. She was a country girl whose mama evidently taught her to keep herself pure and clean and virtuous. Probably all that Mary ever wanted out of life was a good man who had a job and someone who would take care of her, make a home for her. It don't appear that Mary was out looking for the rich and famous. She had fallen in love with a carpenter. Joe was, I guess, everything Mary ever wanted. The carpenter Joseph liked to work with his hands. My. Would someone bring me a bottle of water? I neglected that this morning. Liked to work with his hands, but hey. Just a country girl and a simple carpenter. Not only that, but when you look at that story, the kind of folks that God would use to change the history of the world forever. An incredible story. And not only that, but when the angels announced this thing to the world, they snubbed the high sophisticated crowd. They snubbed the religious leaders of the world. The Jews were looking for a superhero. Yeah. They weren't looking for some carpenter's kid born in a barn. But the angels that night, they bypassed the Pope and the head of the Southern Baptist Convention and the leadership of the Hope Baptist Church. They bypassed all the religious leaders and they snubbed all the famous preachers and rulers of government. And to make things worse, they announced the birth of the Lord of Glory to those who were regarded as the least in the least estate by world standards. Farmers. Shepherds in the field. My. The angel appeared to shepherds in the field. Man, I mean, I didn't get a call. John Hagee, Joel Osteen, the Pope, Billy Graham, nothing. Nobody told us. Now, just what was God thinking? What was God thinking when he bypassed all this elitist crowd and revealed his plan of salvation to these shepherds? It says in Luke 2:8, and said, and there were many in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Do you notice that? To all people. Not just to your little group, my little group, or the little group of the church down the road, but that goodwill is toward all men. And it was to all people. It's available to everyone. God's mad at sin. God came to pay the sin debt so whosoever would come to Christ, the Savior. This was the biggest story in the history of the world, and it wasn't even on the evening news. CNN didn't run it. MSNBC didn't have it. Fox News missed it. NBC, all the news media bypassed this story. The biggest story in the history of the world. God, hey, another thing you notice that God didn't send Mary to one of the great cultural cities and centers of the world. He didn't send Joseph and Mary to Rome or to Paris or some great Athens or some great city of man's glory. He didn't send them there. God didn't send Mary to Trump Towers or the Waldorf Astoria or some great resort, the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The world would have, if the world had only known what was going on, man, surely they would have done things differently. If the world had truly known, someone would have said, prepare the royal chambers, send forth the royal chariots, call forth the greatest physicians in all of Rome. Send forth the royal nurses and prepare the finest linens and the most exquisite perfumes. The Holy One, the Christ Child, the Savior of the world, God in the flesh, is coming to this world. Sound the royal trumpets. But it didn't happen that way. It says in Luke 2:7, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In verse 12, there in Luke 2, it says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Our Lord wasn't born in Rome or some great city, but he is born in a little hick town of Bethlehem. The prophet Micah in Micah 5:2 spoke 700 years before the birth of Christ. The prophet Micah said, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Why would God have chosen this little country town to bring forth the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? 1 Corinthians 1:25 gives a hint. It says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, and no flesh, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Who could have imagined the King of Glory born in this little rinky-dink town to a homeless drifter, a questionable woman? The rumors had already started. No social standing, no celebrity. The King of Glory born in a barn, a straw for his pillow, wrapped in meager rags, and no doctors, no nurses, no midwives, no throngs of world leaders gathered to show their adulation. The rulers of this world could have never imagined this great event occurring with such little worldly pomp and regality. Now listen, even though things may have been kind of quiet here on earth when that happened, hey, it was a different story up in glory. Luke 2:13, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." My. Man, they were having a party up in heaven. Yay, glory, glory, glory. Oh, my. Ha! Doesn't sound like Dale Tilly. If he's here 1 week, it takes me a month to get over it. Luke 1:46, "And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord." Watch this. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." You know what Mary just said? Mary just said that she needed a Savior. Mary can't save you. Never could, never can, never will, never would. She said, "I rejoice in God my Savior." Jesus Christ was Mary's Savior as well. Just thought I'd throw that in. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm and hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away." Mark 10:43, "But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." My, that's why the Lord is able to say, Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, won't you come? When the God of glory came to this world in the form of a man, he didn't identify himself. He didn't line up and identify himself with the mighty, with the proud, with the lifted up. He didn't identify himself with the famous and the rich and the great. He identified with the shepherds in the field, with farmers and carpenters, the fishermen along the seashore. He came to the back street bars and the brothels and the bawdy houses and the prisons. That's where he went to. Come now, he said, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He came to the palm readers and the gamblers and the dreamers and the ramblers. He came to the back street boy to reach out, to seek and to save that which was lost. Bringing hither the blind and the halt and the maimed. My, my. He said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. If any man looks to the meaning of Christmas this year, let him look to the redeemed of Christ. He will find it in the meek. He'll find the redeemed among the meek, the lowly, the lonely, the lame, the downtrodden, the destitute, the disenchanted, the disenfranchised. He'll find the redeemed among the unloved and the unclaimed and the unsung and the weeping and the widows and the fatherless and the fearful. That's the Lord's crowd, the outcasts of this world and the helpless and the hopeless and the homeless and the halt and the humble and the heartsick. You'll find the redeemed among the poor and the powerless and the pitiful and the perishing, the brokenhearted, the broken in spirit. The blind, the sorrowful, the tried, the tempted, the cheerful. This child born of a virgin in this little country town of Bethlehem. The scripture says over in Matthew 25:31, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, and say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. That's God's crowd. That's the crowd he's after. The needy. A lot of needs in this world today. We live in a world that's half of it's with a reprobate mind. They have closed their ears to the gospel. They closed their ears to anything to do with holiness and righteousness and with the God and what God has to say about things. They're not interested in God's opinion, but God's still interested in saving their soul. I was at that visitation last night, big long lines. There's a couple couples came through there. One girl I'd witnessed to. She's a lesbian girl. Had her girlfriend there with her. I said to her girlfriend, who I didn't know, I said, has anybody ever told you about Jesus? She said, well, no. I said, would you care if sometimes I came by and told you? Say, can God save him? Sure, he can save me and save anybody. I wasn't there to condemn her. If they don't know Jesus Christ, folks just don't know any better. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can they know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. God wants us to reach out to everybody. Not just the uppity-up crowd. Not just the folks that have money or the folks that have prestige. Not just the rich and the famous. The lifestyles of the rich and famous. I thought one day they'd do a show about me and Tim Woods called Lifestyles of the Poor and the Obscure. Maybe. God loves you this morning, loves you enough to die for you on the cross. He loved you enough that He sent His Son in the form of a baby, a little baby. Can you imagine Jesus Christ, everyone stand up? Form of a little baby. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being James, the Lord's brother? Can you imagine being James, the Lord's brother? And Mary says, why can't you be more like your brother? Yeah. Can you imagine that? The Lord of glory. The Lord of glory, He appeared for you. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what your secret life has hidden of the sin and the lust and the craziness in your secret life. But God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Though your sins be red like scarlet, they shall be white like wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. My, my, my. The altar's open this morning. Don't miss out on this thing. The reason why Christ came. He came to seek and to save sinners. Came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why He came. Came for you. Came for me. Won't you come as we sing?